ball comes out of the hands of Rodgers, and it's recovered into the end zone by Leonard Floyd. Rodgers pass, it is caught for the touchdown. Devontae Adams to the end zone and open. It's Adams again for the touchdown. Flips it end zone, and it is a touchdown.
Yes, the velvet tones of Jim Nantz and the CBS NFL Network simulcast. Yes, the Green Bay Packers got it together just in time on Thursday night, scoring consecutive touchdown drives, three straight touchdown drives in the second half after a sack strip fumble put the Bears ahead temporarily early in the third quarter. In the end, a 26-10 victory for the Packers, who moved to 4-2. Dan Hans is here alongside Chris Wessling. Wes, it looked pretty grim when Leonard Floyd recovered that ball in the end zone. The Boo Birds are back out at Lambeau Field. But Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, they put things back together and saved some face tonight.
The Packers always score on the opening drive of the game because they have the benefit of scripted plays, which allows Aaron Rodgers to be more decisive and get rid of the ball faster. Then they lapse into sandlot ball after that, and that's what it shouldn't take nearly three quarters for Aaron Rodgers to find his rhythm against an undermanned, frankly, not so good Bears defense, and that's what happened tonight. I think optimists will say they fixed their problems in the second half. I don't think they did.
Yeah, it was almost a gimme. The game was already, you know, stacked in the Packers' favor. The fact that they were a superior team, the fact that they were at home, the fact that it's Thursday night where the home team usually thrives. And then Brian Hoyer gets his left arm snapped on by a Clay Matthews helmet shot, and enter Matt Barkley, who was just dreadful in this game, 6 of 15 for 81 yards and two interceptions. So the Bears essentially had no chance in this game when you look at it. So if anybody, you know, we're not handing out lollipops around here for the Packers' effort, but you do at least give them credit for looking like some semblance of an offense that is tough to handle, because they did score touchdowns, like I said, in three straight possessions in the second half to put the game away. Rodgers, Devontae Adams and Ty Montgomery and Randall Cobb, those were the three guys that he relied on. At one point I tweeted, when they were in the red zone, this is where they really miss Jordy Nelson. And honestly, Wes, it feels like Jordy Nelson must not be even close to the same guy anymore for him to not blow up in this game.
I don't think he is the same guy. He certainly doesn't have Rodgers' trust. There were at least two times when Nelson broke open and Rodgers didn't see him. But the stats are going to be misleading in this game. That trio of Packers receivers joined the 94 Patriots as the only trio ever to have 10 receptions apiece in a game. And that's because Ty Montgomery and Randall Cobb were used as basically surrogates for the running game. Short passes within 5 to 6 yards of the line of scrimmage. Devontae Adams was the only one getting open consistently beyond 8 or 9 yards. And I don't know if that's something that they can do going forward. Next week is a potential shootout in Atlanta. So you figure without Eddie Lacy, without James Starks, they're going to do the same method of attack in that game.
A very weird performance by their offense, because and Aaron Rodgers was very frustrated early on in this game. He threw he had 39 completions in this game, which was a franchise record, but it took until his 55th pass of the game to go over 300 yards, which really, again, puts into perspective how this is not an
offense.
He
was in the Gabbert zone.
He was in the Gabbert zone for the game, which is outrageous. But that's just what the Packers are right now. They are not an explosive team to watch, and they left some plays on the – Randall Cobb left two touchdowns on the field in the first half, which speaks to, again, and I think Cobb's a nice
player.
It was
good defense. We should say that, but I don't know if I want to say a lot of receivers make that play, but I think Randall Cobb of 2 years ago makes those plays.
At least one of them. To let two of those opportunities, so instead of 14, you get six off that. That's the kind of stuff that has been haunting the Packers. But, you know, we can't kill the Packers. They took care of business in this game, and their backfield is something to watch here. I thought Ty Montgomery, it was still weird to watch a number 88 getting the ball stuck in his gut on draw plays and things of that nature. But we might see a lot more of that because Montgomery did a nice job. Rookie Don Jackson, who they promoted from the practice squad, he lost just two carries and then left with a left hand injury. We don't know what's going on with him. So their running game, we don't know what to expect from Green Bay's running attack. It's going to be Aaron Rodgers and this passing game that's going to have to lead them. Let's see if they're up to the task against better opposition.
They served notice about 6 years ago that they had a scorched earth policy against defensive backfields in Atlanta in the playoffs when they just exploded. Maybe they can recapture that next week in Atlanta. I doubt it, but we'll see.
We'll see. And one last note, 19 penalties for 164 yards in this game. Another little ugly subplot of primetime football. Clean it up, guys. All right. That's the Thursday night football game. Now, Wes, what we're going to do here, you and I are going to throw it to you and I and Connie Fox. And
let's do it.
We'll preview all the games in week number 7. Let's do it.
The Around the NFL Podcast does want to make flowers today.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with some heroes, Connie Fox, Colleen Wolf, and Christopher Wessling. What's up, people?
Hey, Dan.
An abbreviated sort of group today.
It is. Greg, as we know, who will join us later, is in beautiful London town. And I was thinking maybe the national anthem if you had it soon. Thank you. I just saw him do a TV hit on NFL Network with Steve Wyche. They kind of looked like a crime-fighting duo from a pilot that was never picked up.
Buddy cops?
Kind of.
Yeah, he did one with us on NFL Now. He was standing in front of Big Ben. He was in a black overcoat.
I know. Where'd he get that?
I don't know. And it's weird.
I have to talk to him about his microphone placement too high on his face.
Oh.
We'll talk to that.
All right.
We'll talk about that. A lot to get to. Mark not with us today. He will be hopefully back with us on Sunday. So that leaves the triplets. I don't know if we've ever done a Connie, Chris, Zeus show before.
This is a little different.
It's been a
fun. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, today started, by the way, with me turning the corner into like the valet parking lot area, and there's Connie Fox getting out of her car, and I was 98% sure it was Colleen. So I was like, "Oh, this is funny." So on my car radio, on my Sirius, there was a Coldplay song playing. You know, the one that goes.
He blasts it.
I start turning it up louder and just to see how Colleen reacts. And she won't react to it.
I'm not reacting.
And then I turn it up louder until the point where it's like filling up the entire NFL Network parking lot.
Joke's on you.
And she never turns around. And then I was thinking about this actually after we spoke about it. Because you said you didn't want to turn around because you thought that might be someone trying to get your attention by being cool. Which was
no,
kind of the
no.
Bit I was doing.
I meant like I didn't know if somebody was doing that for real, and then I just didn't really. I wasn't sure I wanted to talk to that person.
I was gonna say like that's kind of like you're from Philly. I'm from New York. Spent time at the Jersey Shore. That was kind of a move. Like people would like rip their music and pull up
totally
to the ladies. And maybe Colleen is a woman that you lived by the Jersey Shore.
Lived at the Jersey
at
Shore
the Jersey
for a
Shore.
While.
I'm sure that was done to you many times, and maybe that was you shutting it out.
Maybe that was like a callback of my subconscious. But also, I just want to add that Dan gets out of his car with a green Solo cup, no shoes on, and I'm like, what are you doing? Blaring Coldplay.
A little bit eccentric entrance today.
Yeah.
Better move by you, Colleen. Just not to turn around. Yeah.
Don't even acknowledge.
Don't
just
acknowledge. Hope it goes away.
Minding my own business.
Today is the Thursday edition of the Around the NFL Podcast, sponsored and brought to you by Mr. Flames Economics Class in The Hague, the Netherlands. Mr. F. And I should report that someone from the advertising department of this company did reach out to me yesterday in a completely perplexed state. What is Mr. Flame? Who is this? Is this a real thing? What was Mark talking about on the last show during his live read? And I just calmly explained exactly what it was, that it was absolutely legitimate. We have a sponsor, and it is Mr. F. Mr. F. Today, you heard at the top of the show, well, you heard me, and you heard Chris Wessling as we broke down the Thursday night recap, Bears at Packers, filling in for Greg, of course. Now we have a lot of other games to get to. In fact, with the Dallas Cowboys and Carolina Panthers on bye, that leaves 30 teams, two already played, so that means there are 14 games to talk about.
Nicely done.
That's
like
probably
the same thing
right.
Every week. So I, at this point, I should not even have to be thinking about it. So why don't we get into it, folks? And why don't we start? We'll do, you know, usually I like to go in time order. And the London game, which, by the way, takes place at Twickenham Stadium.
Twickenham?
No, no ham.
No?
People think it's ham, people that aren't plugged in.
Twicken what?
Twickenham.
I'm going to call it Twicken what?
Just call it Twickers for short, like they do in London.
Twix.
Twickers?
Twickers.
I'm going to the Twix.
Yeah. That's it.
Okay. Anyway, usually I do the games in order of when they're played, but we're going to push it back a little bit. So let's start with the 1 p.m. games here in America, the home of the brave and the land of the free.
It is.
And we'll start Colleen Wolf with the New Orleans Saints, who are heading to Kansas City to face the they're facing the Kansas City Chiefs. Which makes sense. The Saints are a team, they cannot stop anybody. I mean, we know that. But the Chiefs, no one is going to confuse them with a dynamic team. So what are your thoughts about this game? And where does Jamaal Charles fit into this offense in KC?
All right, so sure, the Chiefs, you might look at them and think they're not a dynamic team. But I think that they'll be able to run the ball well in this game because they're playing the Saints. So Jonathan Stewart did it last week. I think Spencer Ware and Jamaal Charles are much more effective than Stewart. So I think they'll be able to do well on the ground there. Plus, the Saints are not good against tight ends. So they haven't been all year. I think that Travis Kelce could have a big day there because their linebackers have just struggled so much. I don't know what's going on with them. Also, on the other side of things, you have Drew Brees. I feel like the Kansas City defense, it's just not nearly as dominant as it used to be, especially with Justin Houston out. And then, you know, you have Mark Ingram, who could actually do well on the ground if Alan Bailey is out. So you have a lot of differences here with Justin Houston. He could have come off the PUP this week if he was ready, but I don't think he's ready. That's right. Week seven, they're eligible.
Yeah. I don't know if we're going to see Justin Houston. And even if we did, it's not like he was going to have a large role immediately on this defense.
Right. And so when you just have Marcus Peters there in that secondary, I think that the Saints have way too many options just for Marcus Peters to sort of defend. I think they really miss Sean Smith at this point. So the secondary has sort of been a little spotty, but I like the Chiefs in this game.
Yeah, the Saints have averaged almost 10 more points at home than on the road over the last 3 years. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And when you mentioned their defense, it's not just that they have trouble covering and they can't stop the run. When they do cover, all you have to do is do what Cam Newton did last week, throw it up for grabs near their goal line. You get pass interference calls and then have Jonathan Stewart run it in. That was their offense last week. The Panthers' offense was just get pass interference calls on the Saints. Suboptimal cornerbacks.
It's the same old story with the Saints. They are second in total offense in the league, second in scoring, first in passing, and yet here we are. We're 31st in total defense. We're last in scoring, 31st in passing defense. They're a fatally flawed team, and that's why I like the Chiefs in this game, who are 3-2, by the way. I like them at home. I always like them at home, but against a team with this much this many flaws on the defensive side of the ball, I just don't see the Saints winning many road games all season.
No, they're not built to do that. They play basketball when they're at home. And they can't play that style outdoors.
Yeah, I agreed with Mark's rant, I think it was last week, about the Saints and how they're boring to watch. I mean, they're putting up points, but it's the same thing every single year with them. And it's like, at what point do you finally actually get a defense that can play and defend a team?
It's like when Everybody Loves Raymond hit like its eighth season. And there are people that still liked watching Everybody Loves Raymond. But
like, who are those people?
Yeah,
who are they?
Yeah, everybody else is kind of like, all right, we've seen this. So the show wasn't even good after the third or fourth season. Let's just move on. The Saints are the Everybody Loves Raymond in the NFL.
I love that analogy.
I knew some girls who thought that
Ray Romano was hot.
No, who thought that the mom on that show was hilarious. And they were just—they were the biggest fan of the mom, and I was just like, "You can't watch that show. Stop."
Patricia Heaton, I believe her name.
Oh, that no—I meant Ray's mom.
Oh,
but Patricia,
wow. Old lady.
Patricia Heaton was just a pure wanton evil person.
That's ageist.
I've never seen the program myself.
Oh, she was. She did. She spent the whole show yelling at Ray. It was awful.
All right.
Yeah, that's true.
Wes, calm down. Wes, don't get so worked up about Everybody Loves Raymond.
Well, you know my theory on '90s television shows—they exist. All sitcoms from the 90s exist only to pound the idea into females' heads that all men are cavemen and you must be the stronger one in the relationship.
Colleen, your thoughts?
That's a strong opinion.
All right, let's move on. I love when Wes gets fired up on random stuff.
No, 1990 sitcoms. Go back and watch them all. Every man is an idiot who can't do anything right.
Let's move on.
Oh, my God.
I've heard you say the theory before.
I've never heard
it. It's 100% factually correct.
I will watch closely next time I watch a 90s sitcom to see for myself if that's true. Let's move on. An AFC South matchup. The AFC South, which, Colleen, I don't know if you're aware, is but. This one is a Colts at Titans. And I'll tell you what, Wes. I'm smarting a little bit. Nobody cares about anybody's fantasy teams, but I did drop Marcus Mariota to pick up Tony Romo 3 weeks ago. Used up all my budget. And I said, oh, this is a beautiful move. It's going to work out. It's going to be the biggest bang fest ever because not only is Marcus Mariota Mariota again, Tony Romo ain't going to play. Daddy's in trouble. Wes, Mariota back?
No.
Oh, okay.
You would think so by the passer ratings and the touchdowns. He missed a lot of throws last week, a lot of easy throws that would have helped his receivers get yards after the catch. And he hit some big throws. Both of them were diving catches by Kendall Wright and Rishard Matthews. I don't think Mariota's back. I don't think he's comfortable yet in this offense. The results are a little bit better, but he's also playing some stinking dog teams.
Is Kendall Wright back?
Kendall Wright is back, and he is their best receiver.
And, you know, on the Colts side of the ball, there you could go through a whole season and not find too many losses that were as stomach punch bad as Sunday night's. A game was over against a Houston Texans team where they had showed no signs of life. Their entire home fan base had poured out of that building. 14-point lead for the Colts with 5 minutes to go, and they don't find a way. We might be talking about a little bit of a hot butt situation in Indianapolis right now. They got to win some games, and if they go into Tennessee and fall to 2-5,
I can't with this drop. This
Why?
Drop is so uncomfortable. Listen, every time I hear it, when I'm not here, it makes me so skittish. I can't.
Listen, that's Chaz Pagano's butt.
It's awful.
Roasting.
That's it sounds like somebody's being tortured.
That's a fake whimper.
It is what it is. That's life in the NFL. Wes, Chuck Pagano in trouble if they can't find a way to win this game.
He should be. GM should be in trouble. Everybody should be in trouble except the quarterback and the running back.
Yeah, they're not going to be able to run the ball like they did last week. Frank Gore, he went off, but I feel like the Titans have been able to do well against the run.
Yeah, they have. It's going to be another 55 games or so before they have a 100-yard rusher.
This analysis isn't really hard.
Right.
The Titans have back-to-back games of 6 sacks, and the Colts, Andrew Luck has been sacked 23 times, the most of any quarterback in the NFL. Seems like it might be a problem for the Colts' offensive line in this game.
Mm. And one last thing before we get out of this game, because, you know, like I said, this is a butt game. But DeMarco Murray, explain this to me, Wes.
Yes?
The Cowboys drove him into the ground 2 years ago, and he didn't look like the same guy last year, played an entire season, looked slow, couldn't get to the hole, couldn't get around the corner. And now all of a sudden he's back to the 2014 version, and he's 2 years older. What am I missing here? How did this happen?
Several things going on here. By the end of the 2014 season in which he was Offensive Player of the Year, you could see his legs were gone. The Cowboys had used him up. You can't carry the ball. You can't touch the ball 500 times in a season, and he touched the ball 497 times. So you see this a lot with guys who have 400 touches in a season. They're terrible the next year because their legs are gone and they're injured for a good portion of the year. And then they bounce back to a certain degree the next year, maybe not all the way back. And also Chip Kelly's offense wasn't suitable for him.
Maybe they should keep Derrick Henry a little bit more involved just to keep Murray.
Absolutely.
You would think.
Absolutely.
Remember how excited everyone was about that 1-2 punch, and then Murray looked so good it made him made Henry irrelevant. But maybe
they'll do it this week because Lamar Miller, he went off last week. He did well against them, so maybe this is the week that they get both DeMarco and Derrick Henry involved again.
Anybody can run on the Colts.
Exactly.
Let's move on, and we'll talk about what might be one of the games of the week, if not the game of the week, at least in the NFC. The Minnesota Vikings 5-0 coming off their bye week. They head to Philadelphia to face the Eagles, and the Eagles, who were 3-0, are now 3-2. And Wes, what in your mind has separated the Eagles of the first 3 weeks from the Eagles that have lost their last two games? What has changed?
The offensive line.
Big V.
Big V is a problem.
Big V.
Mm-hmm. Vitae playing right tackle in place of suspended Lane Johnson. Got worked over by Ryan Kerrigan last week. Kerrigan had 3 sacks in the first half alone.
Did you see his jersey after the first play of the game? It looked like it went through a shredder, Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about Large V.
Large V was an issue. And yeah. Jason Kelce, the center, has had a pretty bad year. He's been good in the past. Jason Peters isn't really himself anymore, his all-pro self. When everybody was healthy and playing well, you could hide Kelce. Peters could play just well enough, but you had Lane Johnson and both guards playing at a really high level. Now you've got 2 or 3 problem areas on that line, and that is a recipe for disaster. You make the Redskins look like a ferocious pass rushing team. Now you've got the Vikings coming in. This is the kind of matchup that can lose a game.
And I'm worried about Carson Wentz in this game. Just with you have Danielle Hunter, who's going to be going after Big V, Large V.
Large V.
Giant V.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, Jason Kelce, I mean, he's going to have Linval Joseph coming at him.
Linval Joseph can bench press Kelce, lift him up over his head, and just throw him. I mean, Kelsey's the lightest center in the league, and Linval Joseph is the best nose tackle in the league. It's a bad matchup.
Well, here we, you know, Colleen.
What?
You're from
you tell me.
You're from Philly, and you've been through a lot of tough times with the Eagles. And
tell me what I've been through in my life, Dan.
You've been through a lot of highs under Andy Reid and a lot of lows, and you subscribe to the notion that what goes up must
come
down. So you're thinking now the Eagles are going to tank just this because everything started so well. But you know what? I don't think the Eagles are going to tank. I would like to hear everyone's game pick on this one, but my pick here is the Philadelphia Eagles. I think I think the Vikings are due for a loss. I respect the Vikings. I really like what they've seen. After all, they are the team of ATL.
Team.
Nice graphic.
Is this like a Sam Bradford thing that you have going on here?
Listen, do I trust Sam Bradford? Not totally. Do I trust him on the road? Not entirely.
This is on the road, but he's used to playing in this stadium.
I know.
Yeah, but he played absolutely at a mediocre level when he was in this building. I'm just saying, I think the Vikings are going to get picked off, and I think the Eagles are a legitimately good team, and at home, coming off 2 losses, I like the spot for Philly here.
The one thing I will agree with you about is Sam Bradford, he knows the defense's weaknesses probably better than anybody, so he knows that he's going to be able to exploit the heck out of that secondary.
You could say hell.
I don't know, can I?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, he's going to exploit the hell out of them.
Well, you know, show some class, Colin.
Okay, fine.
I don't believe in hell.
But this is going all over the place. But you have isn't Stephon Diggs going to be back too in this game?
Save it for the theology podcast, Wes.
All right.
And we saw DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon, what they did last week against the Eagles. So, look, I think that Sam Bradford and Stephon Diggs will probably do the same. But, I mean, I'm picking the Vikings in this game.
I think the slide is real. I think the Eagles are reeling.
Mm.
And this matchup is terrible for them. I like the Vikings convincingly.
Okay. Well, I'll show you guys. I'll show all of yous.
Is this your lock? No?
No. Okay. Not locking it up. You asked me if I'm locking it up?
No, I am.
Not locking it up.
Okay.
Let's move on, and we'll talk about AFC North battle between the Cleveland Browns, 0-6.
Mm.
Wouldn't it be fitting, by the way, and not fitting in a great way and not one that would
They get their first win?
No, well, that would be somewhat fitting too, but wouldn't it be so Browns if the Cavs win the NBA title and then the Indians, who are now in the World Series, win baseball's World Championship, and then the Browns drop an 0-16 hammer?
Oh, no.
Would that
That's awful.
That would probably be, though, a rock bottom, you would think. Finally rock bottom. Still a long way to go.
Wow.
If there was a year that they were going to do it, it would definitely be this year in that very scenario.
Cosmically, we're going to truly find out if God hates the Browns, if that were to happen. But a long way to go for both.
I don't believe in that either.
And save it for the theology podcast. Listen. Wes, you roll in here with your handsome Henley shirt today and your breast cancer awareness pin centered on your shirt.
Dan cannot stop staring at Wes.
And you're talking about God and hell and the things that you don't believe in. Well, believe in this. The Cleveland Browns transition are better than an 0-6 team on some level. They're competitive. In Cincinnati, Colleen.
Yes.
They haven't been the Bengals this year. Not the Bengals of last year, anyway.
No. Still waiting for Tyler Eifert to be back. He said today that he's ready. He participated in 11-on-11s today. But he really hasn't obviously been himself because first it was the ankle, then it was the back. But today he said that his ankle, it feels great. So now he's just sort of waiting on the back. And it was pouring today at practice. And he was able to cut. Mm. He was able to plant that foot. So he's sort of nursing his way back. It's obviously not his decision whether or not he'll be on the field. So if he is on the field on Sunday, he'll probably be limited, I would think. But this is a good matchup for AJ Green because Joe Hayden, he missed practice again today. So I think it would probably be him against like Tracy Howard. Is that who is there? Somebody who I'm not sure. And that says a lot. So you have AJ Green against him. And look, the Browns did a good job with DeMarco. So Jeremy Hill, he's not 100%. They probably won't run the ball well. So it's going to be all in the air.
Browns held DeMarco Murray down in large part because Danny Shelton, their first-round pick last year, is finally playing great, dominating the line of scrimmage. He looks like another nucleus player for them. So I think they're 0-6, but they're playing everyone tough, and you're finding building blocks. Christian Kirksey at middle linebacker or at inside linebacker, Danny Shelton, Corey Coleman, who should be back in the next week or two, and Terrell Pryor, who is just jumping over defensive backs to catch balls. I think the Browns, things are starting to look up, even if it's not showing in the box score.
Cody Kessler looks like he's going to stay in the starting lineup even when Josh McCown is ready to return, which is the right decision here, I think. One thing to keep an eye on, Terrell Pryor is such an important part of this offense. He has a hamstring issue, has not practiced yet as of Thursday, so we'll see if he practices and if he does, how much on Friday. So we don't know how much. If they don't have Pryor, that's a major hit to their offense, especially when pieces like Gary Bunch, where you been all season, Gary? I talked to you. I figure you go for 60 catches and at least 800 yards and 7 touchdowns. Let's say you disappear. Where you been, Gary?
He's going to be around all Sunday.
He's looking in a mirror, by the way, talking to himself there.
His production lives and dies with Josh McCown. Mm. He's a McCown favorite.
A McCown
That's no good.
Favorite. And also, this is Hugh Jackson's first game against Cincinnati.
This is a revenge game?
We're really hazy on revenge games here.
Oh.
It's not our thing.
Also, James White was able to run well, so maybe Duke Johnson will be able to do a good job since Carlos Dansby is sort of struggling right now.
I think he's struggling more in pass coverage.
Yeah.
He's struggling mightily in pass coverage.
Bad.
Perfect did, too, against the Patriots. There might be something to the Hugh Jackson revenge game angle because word around the campfire in Cincinnati was that he and Marvin Lewis had a succession plan in place. That Marvin would coach another year or two, Hugh would take over, and Mike Brown nixed it.
Hmm. Whoa.
Succession plans do not always...
Stop staring at my shirt.
It's a nice shirt. Succession plans do not always work
out. Do you want
me
to get out of here? Should I leave you two alone?
I don't know what the last shirt comment was. I wasn't even looking at it. I was looking at Wes.
Okay.
Succession plans don't always work out because once upon a time, I will remind everyone in the world that Bill Belichick was supposed to replace Bill Parcells. Nah, that didn't work out for the Jets.
Mm-mm.
Whatever. Let's move on. The guy resigns on like a cocktail napkin. Show some class.
That was one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen in the NFL.
I would love to do that.
Yeah.
Resign on a cop?
Yeah.
Yeah.
okay. Now, as we said, Greg Rosenthal is in London, a hero, one of the boys, one of the American boys going overseas, see, to fight for our country or fight for the NFL, cover the NFL. And now we bring him live from London via the phone, Mr. Rosenthal.
What is happening?
Hey, Rosie.
My This is my second time today talking to Connor. By the way, I mean, talking to Colleen.
You can call me Connor.
You know, Connor, Colleen, it's late at night here. Dan, your Barnage accent, I used to think, yeah. Oh, this is kind of a silly thing that he does, not very accurate. That's all anyone talks like around here. It's basically millions of Gary Barnages surrounding me.
Wow.
Greg, I appreciate that, and it's funny. Do you hear your theme song, by the way?
Jaunty.
I hear it vaguely. I hear it lightly. Yes, I like it.
There's a tambourine involved.
I just did a Barnage right before you came on, so it's fitting. Greg,
that's what I'm commenting on.
Okay,
that's
you
what
did
I'm
hear.
Saying. I mean, it was like being back out in the streets listening to that.
What's going on in London, Greg? Besides the voices,
so many things. We did I did a hit outside of Big Ben and Parliament. I've been going up to the Rams practice. They're staying at a five-star luxury resort, which is very quaint in the English countryside with fireplaces and
ooh, that
everything.
Sounds lovely.
It is. It's a strange place to see like 300-pound men in like sweatpants ducking through doorways because they don't fit them at all. But it's a lovely locale.
Can we throw up, if anyone's watching this on YouTube, can we throw up that board again? I just want Greg, you to know how you're being described. To anyone watching the show, these are different bullet points. Around the NFL hero, former boss, rules from his throne of ease, and a lifelong contrarian. What do you think about that?
Accurate.
Well, my first instinct was to disagree with the lifelong contrarian thing, but you've painted me into a corner here.
Yeah, you're in a tough spot there. So what's
perfect.
You've been covering the Rams exclusively or both sides of this?
Well, the Giants don't get here till tomorrow, Friday, as we're taping this. So I've been up at the Rams, got there just in time to catch the end of them talking on Wednesday, and then was up there at practice in lovely, I don't know where it is, Twickenham Stadium.
There you
near
go.
Twickenham Stadium.
Twickenham, known as the Twix.
Twix.
Twickers.
Yeah. Don't say Twickenham. There's a lot of podcasts. Fans, though, in the media, I have to say, other guys who have their own podcast, I think they're all vaguely disappointed. It's me here instead of Connor and Mark, but they're doing what they can.
Have you managed to stumble upon any secret Jeff Fisher meetings where he's going over his plan to go 7-9 this year?
No, but along those lines, you know, Steve Weiss, I'll just say, reported just now on NFL Network that you know, you never know if they'll make a change to Jared Goff during this bye week. So depending on how Case Keenum plays in this game, if he doesn't play too well, it sounds like they're going to give Goff more practice reps regardless, and that they're getting a little closer to itching towards putting him in a lineup. And to me, that might be a recipe for 7-9. That might be a recipe for 6-10 or 5-11.
Yeah, but you know what, Greg? I think even if it does mean them taking a step back, that would be a positive. That's been my opinion, that they need to get this guy in the lineup when they think the time is right. They shouldn't hold on with the hope that they go 9-7 and sneak in the playoffs.
I agree. And the way the Giants defense is playing lately, and the way, you know, I know the Rams are coming off a good offensive game, but that was against the banged up Lions team. It would not surprise me at all for Case Keenum to look a lot worse this week. And if that's the case, I do kind of think we might see Goff coming out of their bye.
Greg, we've been reluctant to give this coaching staff much credit. Do you think Rob Boris deserves some credit for how relatively well Case Keenum has played, and Kenny Britt having a career year? Kenny Britt playing like somebody lit a fire under his butt too.
Yeah, I think that's fair, that they've maximized what they have. And the thing, everyone has given Todd Gurley a pass. Dan's kind of hit this note a little bit lately. Like, is it some on Todd Gurley? And watching that last game against the Lions, he had some holes. I mean, he had some holes. I think if some of the best running backs in the league got the amount of holes that he did in the first half, they would have ripped off some bigger games. Like, he's getting the 5, 6, 7, but he's not – I don't know what it is, but he's not making the big plays.
I did not see these holes you're referring to.
What?
I did not see these holes you're referring to.
coaches film, baby. I'm diving deep into the Rams this week.
Greg, what's going on with the defense and Robert Quinn? I know he's back, but they have a couple guys that are really banged up.
Yeah, they're going to be without Tremaine Johnson, their cornerback. I think the feeling with the Rams is that their defense isn't really that bad, but their cornerbacks are terrible. Like, they're putting – I think they're quietly putting the blame on that position, especially without Tremaine Johnson. Meanwhile, they're playing the Giants with Janoris Jenkins, who was on their team last year, and Fisher said that he's playing better than any cornerback in the league. So I think they regret letting Janoris Jenkins go, and I don't think Johnson's going to be back. He was limping around in a boot today. But, yes, they do get Robert Quinn back, which is nothing else that help Aaron Donald, who they were talking about is now getting triple teamed sometimes on plays.
Greg, so before we let you go here, you have to tell us what are you doing out there? Like, are you – first of all, we want to know when you're meeting all the fans at the pub. You're going to drink, I'm thinking, like 75 pints.
And there's cobblestones, so you got to be careful when you're walking home. I lived there a couple months.
Yeah, where is the big meetup, and beware of the cobblestone?
Don't get cobblestoned.
All right, Wes. All right, Wes, we'll give it to you.
Yeah,
nice
cobblestone
pun.
Is more my style. But I don't know when we're going to meet up. I don't know. I've been
There will be no meetup, everybody. I just want you to know that.
Oh, please. That's terrible.
That's on Greg.
I am going to make it happen.
You are?
I'm trying to get through. Oh. I've only been here for a little over 24 hours, and half of that has been spent in cars and cabs. Like, the practice facility is 2 hours away. In traffic.
Oh my God.
Then there was a lot of going around today. I'm going to some availabilities tomorrow. I'm writing some stuff. So it's a grand time, but Saturday. I think Saturday would be the day. Sunday.
You know what? If this happens, which it won't, if it does, I owe you an apology. In fact, I'll buy you a sandwich.
Oh.
Well, you know how I hate losing, bets. So I might just hold it just to get that sandwich. You know what I mean?
There you go.
Like, it was on the borderline. You also know that I'm not much of a planner. So if this
it's not just that I think you're antisocial. You're not like a bar guy or a guy that likes to booze a lot. I'm saying the planning of it, everything that goes along with it. I can't see it coming together. That's just my prediction. That's all.
Wow, this seems like a challenge.
A little bit.
The power of the Around the NFL podcast is such. I think you could just send a tweet out. It's like a bat signal, and just the Hanzoos fans are going to come flocking from all over the city.
There's a lot of Rosie fans too, Greg. So just be careful. Look out for stalkers. Be safe. Wear the cobblestone. And should we check in with you on Sunday? I don't know what the time situation is going to be. Is that not a realistic thing? Okay. So let's talk again on Sunday.
I look forward to it.
All right. Bye, Greg.
Bye, Rosie.
Bye, Greg. Bye, Wes.
Let's
bye,
play
Colin.
Him out.
See you, Dan.
Where'd you find this music?
We sent our boys overseas. And we want them back. We want our boys back, too. But we send the right ones overseas. And they sent a leader like Greg.
Schmaz, eh?
Which war was this? World War II?
WW2. The Great War.
World War I, the song was Over There, Over There. Do you remember that?
I don't remember it.
We all remember it well.
One more note about this game, because it's becoming a story around the league. Josh Brown, the Giants kicker, who, of course, was suspended one game for a domestic violence situation. Some more came to light recently as today, Thursday, which has now led to the Giants' decision to not have Brown travel to London. So I think... Josh Brown's career with the Giants, at the very least, could be in danger now because of his domestic violence past that more and more is coming to light. Not a good situation for the Giants, and maybe one they could have handled this situation better.
You'd like to see them get in front of this, not behind it next time.
Exactly.
Maybe they'll learn.
Let us move on and talk about another NFC East team, the Washington Redskins, back here in the States. They travel to Detroit to face the Lions, and I don't know, Wes. I feel like I've been on this train a little sooner than other people, that the Lions are a kind of fun team, that they're not a great team, but a team you watch their games, and they're going to play some entertaining games, and we know Matty Stafford's going to be throwing the ball around, and Cooter's going to be doing his Cooter stuff. I'm in on this Lion team. They're fun to watch this year.
They are fun to watch. Stafford played a brilliant game last week. According to Pro Football Focus, his accuracy rate, which factors in spiked balls, throwaways, was 93.1%, which is about as high as you're going to see. He was on point. And their offense is a little bit different this year. They throw mostly within 10 yards and get everybody going after the catch. He did have one really nice throw on a free play when it was a defensive offsides and hit Golden Tate for a big play. Golden Tate, I don't know why he hasn't been good all year, because he looked spectacular last year.
Didn't he look just like the guy that had 99 catches? I don't know where he's been. He was right back to his old ways of celebrating and being Golden Tate. If he's back now and you pair him with Marvin Jones, their offense is even going to be bigger.
And Anquan Boldin, also, by the way, it's Matthew Stafford. We cannot refer to him as Matt Stafford. That was a note that NFL Network received.
Who? Really?
Yeah.
I called him Matty. Is that allowed?
No, I don't think so. I think it's got to be Matthew.
Keep calling him Matty. See if you get a note.
I want a note. Matt,
why can't I call him Matt Stafford?
I think it's – you know what I think it is? Matt Stafford kind of sounds like a frat boy from Alabama.
Wasn't that what he is? Oh, he's from Dallas.
Dallas. And Matthew.
More refined.
A little more refined. I think that's what he's going for.
Okay, that makes sense.
We have to take this seriously. Like, we can't call Adam Jones Pac-Man. We have to call Michael Vick Mike Vick. I mean, can't we just not pay attention to this?
We can do whatever we want. And by the way, and this is one of the stranger subplots of the whole season, just like the Bills have turned it around, the Redskins are now 4-2. So before, you know, as much as I'm saying I think the Lions are fun and all this stuff and they're not an easy beat at home, we cannot discount the Redskins, Colin, because they're winning every single week now.
Not to mention Matt Jones. Look, he's been running well, and he'll probably have another good game with Haloti Ngata out. I would expect that. Plus, like, the Lions don't really have a good pass rush. So Kirk Cousins, whatever you think of him, he'll probably have time to throw.
Yeah, DeSean Jackson has not practiced this week. Jordan Reed tried to practice limited Wednesday and then was held out on Thursday again. So it could be his weapons could be a little diminished, Kirk Cousins. Maybe he'll throw another touchdown to Vernon Davis, who will not fake shoot a free throw this time, because you can't fake shoot a free throw, but you can mimic the Incredible Hulk, which Ryan Kerrigan did three times.
There are so many rules.
How do we know which arbitrary and capricious rule to follow this week? I don't know.
Wes, before we move on, I just want you to know. You ready for this?
Yes.
Is your Henley ready for this?
Ooh, I don't know.
I don't think my Henley's ready for this jelly.
Joe Barry revenge game.
Wow. Really pulled that one from the ether.
Oh, man.
Let's move on. Another 1 p.m. game. The Oakland Raiders, team of ATL runner-up at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Listen, nobody cares about my fantasy team. But in my two-quarterback league, not only did I drop Marcus Mariota and pick up Tony Romo.
What else did you do?
My other starter is Blake Bortles.
What?
Oh, no.
What a nightmare this season
is. Oh, my God.
And you know why? Because I got sucked into our own podcast and said Blake Bortles and Marcus Mariota will take me to the promised land.
Oh, no.
Anyway, Blake Bortles has been terrible. But here we go, Wes. At home against the Raiders defense, they can't stop anybody. If ever Jacksonville is going to get their offense going, how about this week?
I don't see it, Dan.
Oh.
And I'll tell you why. You know, I think the world of Greg Rosenthal's quarterback index, we're almost always in lockstep. In his first paragraph, he writes, he includes Blake Bortles among the quarterbacks who had their best game of the season last week. And I got to tell you, I thought he was awful. They didn't move the ball for three quarters. They finally come back and score 17 points in the fourth quarter with Blake Bortles relying almost wholly on defensive penalties to move the ball.
Right.
It wasn't his passing, which he still has a major hitch in his delivery. He kicks his back leg out like a baseball pitcher. It takes him forever to wind
That's
up.
That's it. Sydney, get the Jaguars on the phone. I want Wessling speaking with their offensive coordinator. Who's
Sydney
their OC?
Sydney just jumped up, by the way.
I want Wes to fix this mechanical flaw. Can you do it for us, Sid?
You know I'm going to do my best.
Okay.
Well, this is why he's getting so many balls batted down at the line of scrimmage. It's why he's throwing Allen Hurns into double coverage and taking big hits over the middle, because it takes him 3 seconds to wind up and throw the ball.
But Oakland's secondary, they've sort of struggled, though Sean Smith, he does look so much better than he did at the beginning of the year. But yeah, they don't look good. And I have Allen Hurns, which I'm ready to drop because he's not doing anything for me.
Nothing's working on Jacksonville's offense.
Well, here's a telling stat. Allen Robinson led the NFL last year in plays of 20 or more yards. This year, he's not in the top 50 in plays of 20 or more. Blake Bortles is sinking this offense.
Something's got to give here. Jacksonville or nothing, or this is just going to be a terrible game because this is the number 29 ranked offense in Jacksonville and the last ranked defense in Oakland. So, you know, Oakland, though, at 4-2, if they can, like I've said, and one of the reasons I push them hard as the team of ATL is that as bad as their defense has been, they've been able to steal some games. So once you give yourself a little cushion, if you can figure some things out on defense and go from being 31 to, say, 20 or so, and your offense stays your offense, you're an 11-win team in my mind, but they got to start turning the corner a little bit here. It's getting late early.
Yeah, the Raiders' offensive line has looked really, really good. So Derek Carr will be able to throw. I mean, the Jags' pass rush really, really struggles. So I think
he'll
be
that?
Able to.
Where is that? What are
I don't
stories
know.
I heard about their defense?
What happened to Saxonville?
Yeah. What happened to it?
What about that beach house? That beach house, we're told it's in Miami.
It's not on the beach.
But it's not even on the beach.
No.
And I was in Miami with my new beach house.
Don't you lie to me.
It was a couple minutes from the beach.
God damn it, don't you lie to me.
I love
her. One bright spot for this defense, Jalen Ramsey.
Jalen Ramsey.
For real. He takes it as a personal insult when you complete a pass on him, which is a sign of.
Yeah, great cornerback.
Great cornerback. And he is a great cornerback already.
All right, so let's move on now. Oh, hell, let's pick that game. Oakland Jacks. I got the offense just because I need it to happen. Jacksonville's offense is – no, I can't do it. I think Oakland and Blackjack Del Rio will pull another one out of the rabbit out of the hat. Close win, 2-3-point win for the Raiders.
I won't be picking the Jaguars again the rest of the year until Blake Bortles fixes that delivery.
That's fair.
Raiders, 5-2.
Raiders.
Mark it in.
Are you locking it?
No. It's not my lock. It's not my lock.
Oh, Mark wasn't here today, I should say. He's locking in Bengals lose to Browns. He's been talking about it all week.
He's picking the Browns again.
He has said that the Bengals are going to lose this game.
He's locking that
up. Wow.
He didn't give me permission to say that, but I'm saying it anyway. Mark thinks it's a lock.
All right. I respect it.
I hope he's all right.
And while we're
is
here,
he thinking straight?
Because you know what? And I forgot mine now. Bad job by
you
me.
You forgot your lock?
I forgot my lock. I am
your
locking
thing.
Up. I know. I am locked. I got caught up with Greg in London. I'm locking up the Giants beating the Rams in London. Lock that up.
Okay.
Misplaced locks of the week.
I've gotten four straight locks of the week wrong, but it's all changing. Starting.
What a great segment.
Sunday.
You've gotten four straight locks of the week wrong.
That's part of the sauce of
the je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, exactly. Let's move on. Talk about an AFC East matchup. The Buffalo Bills, who have won four straight games ever since they got beat on Thursday night by the Jets, they have turned their season around unbeatable since and look damn good. And now they travel to Miami.
Damn good.
Damn good.
I don't believe in damning either.
Wes, save it for the expletive podcast. Oh, you're saying damning.
Like that could be theology.
Like damned, that's theology as well. Okay, I got you. Anyway, Colleen. Dolphins, they beat the Steelers last week. Give them credit. Nice job. Nobody thought you were going to do that. Mm-hmm. Can they go on? And this is the reason why. And everybody thought I was crazy on Tuesday's show. I was not going to fork the Dolphins yet. I think they have a little run in them to make people think, oh, maybe they're not so bad. And I kind of think that run continues right now against the Bills. What do you think about this game?
Okay, well, I think that you're on to something there because, sure, the Dolphins won the game in part because Ben Roethlisberger was hurt. But this was the first game all year that the Dolphins had their entire offensive line intact. So you had Laremy Tunsil, Brandon Albert, and Mike Pouncey all there. They all had missed time at some point during the year. So that's a huge reason why Jay Ajayi was able to run. He ran for over 200 yards. Everybody knows that by now. But in this matchup, Marcel Darius.
I was not aware. Thank you.
Is not going to play. And I mean, I would think that Jay Ajayi is going to be able to take advantage of that matchup. Also, I feel like on the other side of things that you have Anthony Lynn. Anthony Lynn, I feel like, is this year's Jim Bob Cooter because everybody is sort of like, oh, once Anthony Lynn came in here, everything turned around. And so it's like they won.
What, good Mark Sessler impression.
That was very
I even did like the hands and everything.
Yeah.
But it's so true. They've been running the ball well and LeSean McCoy looks like a completely different player in this system with whatever they're doing. Well, they're running the ball. That's a different thing. Three touchdowns in that game last week.
Here's the problem. LeSean McCoy on Wednesday suffered a hamstring injury
in
practice. And the way it was explained, not a serious hamstring injury, but also not a precautionary removal from practice one, like a more in the moderate range. He's right now expected as a game time call. And that's terrible news for Buffalo because this guy had hit a groove now, and he is the centerpiece, Wes, of this offense. There's no doubt, right?
I think at what point you have to ask at what point do the injuries start to mount for the Bills, because it sounds like it's trending toward McCoy not playing. Robert Woods hasn't practiced. Sammy Watkins is out. Those are their three best weapons on offense. I don't know. It's going to be a tougher game than people think. They've outscored opponents 124-53 over the last four games, which is flat out domination. But they're going to be severely undermanned in Miami.
Yeah, Tyrod Taylor is going to be under a ton of pressure too. So he's going to have to get a lot of yards scrambling.
You know what else this is, Wes?
Oh no. What revenge game?
A wounded duck game?
Not a wounded duck game. It is.
I can't.
Three, two, one.
The guy who used to be the head coach, and I can't remember his name.
No. No, Colleen, no.
Who?
Doug Marrone. He's the offensive line coach of Jacksonville.
Yes.
Just pipe down, Colleen. Just relax a second.
Doug Marrone. Doug Marrone is
the most
thinking about. Doug
guys,
Marrone.
The Mario Williams revenge game. He's got many revenge agendas. This is one of them.
Can he get revenge from the bench?
I don't know. I thought he'd be cut this week, but he's still there.
I thought you made that your lock of the week.
Did I lock that up?
I don't know.
Lock it up? No, I didn't lock it up. All right, let's move on. The Baltimore Ravens. Everything was great. They were 3-3-0. What goes up
must come down.
3-3 now a three-game losing streak. They lost at the Meadowlands last Sunday to the Giants, and they stay at the Meadowlands this week to face the Jets at 1-5. It's all over for the Jets. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, something that we were not aware of last time we were with you, he was – in fact, bench Fitzmagic. Fitzmagic is no more. They are putting Geno Smith in the lineup. And, Colleen, is that going to change anything for the Jets on offense, in your opinion? Stop laughing.
No, it's not. I'm sorry. I mean, Eric Decker.
Could it make them worse? I mean.
Well, they.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. Could. I mean, the turnovers. Well, the problem is, the Ravens are also super injured, so they have so many guys that are banged up. So it won't be the same team that Geno Smith is facing. Terrell Suggs is out. Elvis Dumervil won't play. CJ Mosley is banged up. Steve Smith's still out. Yeah, Marshall Yanda won't play. But like the team is so different. But in terms of the Jets, I guess it could get worse with Geno.
According to our research department, 30 quarterbacks have thrown 800 passes since 2013, I believe, and Geno Smith ranks last in every major category.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that has always surprised me about our colleague Greg Rosenthal, who has always thought that Geno was a guy ready to turn the corner. And I think what happens, and some people do, and by the way, Jets Twitter, come back to me. Every 6 months or so, Jets Twitter comes after me, because that's our fan base. We're just so sad and miserable that sometimes we just consume our own brood. Out of anger and sadness. And it was my turn yesterday, because I had the onions to state that I wasn't huge on the idea of giving Geno Smith the starting job during a time where he's been, you know, running his mouth to reporters and showing up Ryan Fitzpatrick on the sideline by acting like a goober. I didn't love the decision to give Geno this job, and I got killed for it, whatever. But here's the thing.
Who has a strong opinion like that it's Geno Smith? That's weird.
That's my other point. Jets fans, don't come after me, ever. But number two,
number two,
let's spin forward as a fan base. We thought we had a win now team. We don't win. So now we got to figure out what's next. And that does not mean Ryan Fitzpatrick, and it doesn't mean Geno Smith. How long before we can get Bryce Petty into a game and get a look at this kid? That's the only thing I'm taking from the season now is, when can I see Bryce Petty or maybe Christian Hackenberg? That's what I'm going to say.
That is pathetic.
Are you saying, Jets fans, like, you guys should all come together and together you will be better instead
that will
of
never happen.
Ripping each other apart?
I would love that to happen. Wes, you say it's pathetic, but that's what a team has to do.
I say it's pathetic because there's no reason to think that Bryce Petty is some kind of answer.
But we don't know. Nobody thought that Dak Prescott was the answer this year before he started.
Well, that's
playing.
Not a comparison you can even make. Because Bryce Petty has embarrassed himself in the preseason, and Dak Prescott has played really well.
You're thinking of Christian Hackenberg.
No, I'm thinking of Bryce Petty.
Bryce Petty looked good in the preseason this
year.
What
about the year before?
That was his Hackenberg redshirt year coming out of that Baylor system. He made some really nice plays in the preseason. I'm not saying Bryce Petty's the answer, but it's a waste of time right now with Geno Smith, who's not going to be on this team next year. That's all the Jets fans have right now.
Keith doing?
Did you hear his voicemail?
Yeah. How's he doing? That's why I'm checking on him.
He's not doing great.
This has potential to be the worst game of the week.
It's two teams that are middling.
Joe Flacco hasn't practiced yet this week, and their passing game was broken for a large stretch of the game against the Giants. They couldn't move the ball.
Why don't we move on then and talk about, this game's not much better.
This game's worse.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 2-3. We don't even have Greg here to pump up the Bucs, so this is not much.
And or Kaepernick.
Yeah, they're traveling to San Francisco. To face Colin Kaepernick and the 49ers, who have lost five straight after their annual, they're not that bad week one performance in front of Chris Berman in the world. At the big bell bottom. But now, Wes, the Niners are running Colin Kaepernick back out there. And I know it's kind of a happy story for a lot of people because Kaepernick is his politics and the decision he's made, and you could definitely get behind him for how he's comported himself the last few months. But as a player, did you see anything as a player to get excited about in his first start of the year?
Maybe his scrambling ability. This is another one I'm going to have to disagree with Greg on. He tried to paint this picture that Kaepernick was some upgrade on Gabbert or not entirely bad. And there was basically a hit piece on Kaepernick that came out from Bleacher Report with undisclosed Bills players saying he's done, he'll never be a good quarterback again. That was the reaction from the team that beat him. I saw a quarterback who missed more throws than any quarterback in the league last week.
Even his touchdown throw was pretty gnarly.
He missed so many throws. And I like the stance he's taken. I think it's something America needs to discuss. But on the field, no, I don't think he's the answer for them.
Yeah, I mean, when you watch this team, it's really hard to pick out bright spots with the 49ers in general. I think the Bucs too, they just placed Vincent Jackson on injured reserve. Not like he was a huge thing or anything, but it's just like it's tough to really pull anything out of this game that's great. Cameron Brait, maybe, Adam Humphries, Mike Evans, but yeah.
I don't think this needs too much more discussion this game, but I will tell you, Wes, because I know you love when I start digging through the Week 7 research notes.
This game needs it.
Praise the Lord.
Isn't this Greg's music?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The Buccaneers have never won on a Week 7 road game. 0-15. Lock it up.
Are you kidding me?
What does that even mean?
Not in there.
It is what it is.
Doesn't mean anything.
I'm saying it's in the research packet.
I believe it's in there. It just doesn't mean anything.
I'm just saying.
What if it was a Week 8 road game?
It doesn't matter.
Why does it? That's
my guess. You want my guess? They've been moderately more successful historically in Week 8 than Week 7.
That's a definition of a meaningless stat.
Hey, take it up with the media research department, bro.
Doug Martin will be back in this game.
I don't want to talk about this game anymore.
Okay, Colin. Fine. I'm like, Navarro Bowman, he's out. Fine, let's move on.
Okay, let's go. San Diego Superchargers. Oh, by the way, Marron. I was thinking about maybe we should fork these guys. And everybody in this room was like, no, the Chargers, they're going to the Super Bowl, man. So we didn't even come close to forking the Chargers.
Nor should we.
Because they're so good at losing, like, close games. Now they go to Atlanta to face a Falcons team that now 4-2, so they had their four-game winning streak snapped, and in my opinion, in a bogus manner in Seattle. Wes, you're right. We don't know if they would have Atlanta would have finished off that drive in the last minute of that game. I like to think they would have. I think they would have moved in and hit that kick, and they should be 5-1 right now. So I'm not even a Falcons fan, and I'm still mad about how that game played out. So my point being, Falcons are still looking good in my mind, even despite coming off a loss. And I fully expect, Colleen, the Falcons to lay the wood on the Chargers.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You disagree with me?
I disagree.
Okay. Okay. Let's hear you.
I disagree so much.
Whoa.
That this.
What?
My lock of the week.
You're locking it up.
The Chargers.
Make sure
Chargers.
We lock it. We don't
it's,
lock it.
It is locked. It's locked in. It's loaded.
Because what we do is we put things in the vault.
Uh-huh.
And we say we're going to lock them up. And then we go out and we get sandwiches or have a couple brews. And we never lock it up. And that's why we keep losing these games.
It will be locked up.
I'm appalled at this pick.
Well, explain yourself, Colin. You got to explain it. I just lock something up.
My jaw has dropped.
Nobody, I know. I'm I'm getting crazy here. Nobody is a bigger fan of the Falcons than me right now.
Really?
I love watching
is that, true?
That offense. This team
you're picking against, nobody's a bigger fan of them.
Yes, that's why it's a surprising
pick conflicting
for me.
Statement.
But I just feel like everybody is so high right now on the Falcons that this game, and everybody wants to say, oh, San Diego, like they've only lost a couple games. Or they've lost
voice?
Like four games.
It's Sessler. Oh, San Diego. Oh.
You know, that they kept losing. Finally, they went. Right. Finally, they won, right?
Okay.
Now this starts everything. Okay. They got Joey Bosa in there who really helps improve the defense. The offensive line is getting healthier and healthier. The Falcons really don't have a pass rush. Vic Beasley, he was great against the Broncos, but I mean, I feel like that didn't even really count in that game. The Falcons, look, their linebackers have a really hard time covering tight ends. Hunter Henry, he came in here. He's really impressive.
Yeah, he's a player.
This rookie season for him has been awesome. So you have, I mean, Greg Olsen struggled against them or did well against them. Jimmy Graham did well against them. Plus, Melvin Gordon is going to have a really good chance of getting going here.
Yeah, maybe even like 3.5 yards a carry.
Listen, I'm just saying, this is what's going to happen. Lock it in.
That wasn't bad. That was a pretty good explanation, I really do think.
Okay.
I disagree, but okay.
The Falcons spent 2 weeks on the West Coast. They're tired, all right? Battling two very...
Now you're getting all right.
This has shoot-up potential. I fall somewhere between both of you guys. Dan's not giving the Chargers enough respect for being an offense can move the ball on anyone.
Okay.
They move the ball every week, but you're mentioning a lot of these matchups. Jason Verrett's out for the year. Who's going to cover Julio Jones? Who's going to cover Mohamed Sanu? Who's going to cover Taylor Gabriel?
Casey Hayward might be in the slot.
Not to mention the guys coming out of the backfield, Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman, who are the best complementary backfield in the league. I just think the Falcons have way too many weapons for the Chargers. Even though Joey Bosa, to me, I know Dan has been huge on him. He's a difference-making kind of talent. I just think the Falcons have too many weapons.
Bosa and Ingram will be able to get a lot of pressure on Matt Ryan.
Their offensive line is really good.
It is.
This, to me, has...
Playing at home.
175 yards and 2 touchdowns for Julio Jones written all over it. One of those game plan wrecking type performances that sends a team scattered.
The Chargers secondary is a little dicey.
Yeah, I think these are the two highest scoring teams in the league.
Yeah, it'll be a fun game to watch. If you like shootouts, let's move on. Who's your pick in the game, Wes?
Falcons.
You're taking the Falcs. Like it. Moving on.
Because I'm their biggest fan, not Colleen.
Nobody likes the Falcons more than me.
Apparently. let's move on to the Throne of Ease. And I'll tell you what. You want to talk about Throne of Ease. Just so happens that Big Ben goes out of the lineup right before the big showdown against the Pats. So there will be no Ben Roethlisberger at Heinz Field on Sunday. And maybe not for several more weeks beyond that. The initial report was he can miss as few as just one game, but now it's looking like a more standard type timetable for anybody that gets their knee cut open. But here we are now, Landry Jones versus Bill Belichick's defense. And Wes, I don't like the sound of that.
Are you ready for a hot take?
Ooh.
It. Want it? Need it.
The Steelers should be thankful that Big Ben's not playing in this game. If he only misses a game or two, they can look back and have plausible deniability about the fact that the Patriots were going to whip them up and down the field.
Whoa.
In the game, no matter what.
Oh my God.
Because they can't get after the quarterback. They have no pass rush. Tom Brady is going to sit back there and pick this defense apart. And I think that the Patriots would have won by 2 touchdowns no matter if Big Ben was playing or
Wait
not.
Wait a second. See, that's a hot take. That's spicy.
I just said it was a hot
that's
take.
That's you and Skip Bayless sitting up on the dais together. Because
what makes you think anybody's stopping Tom Brady, much less a defense with
no
pass?
I am not defending that. I think you are probably absolutely right that the Patriots can drop a 40-burger here potentially. But when the Steelers are right, nobody could stop them either. So I'm just saying we were kind of robbed of a potential really fun offense versus offense battle.
I think you're underselling the Patriots' defense, which is among the top 5, I believe, in scoring defense in the NFL.
They are number 2 in that.
There you go. I think you're really underselling what they've done this year. So I just think the Patriots are the better team by quite a bit in this matchup, and I don't think the Steelers have the defense to even hope to contain Tom Brady and Gronk and Martellus Bennett and Edelman and James White.
I will say this, Wes, and you know I hate to say
so that. Once they meet to get in the playoffs, the Steelers can say, hey, we didn't have Big Ben that game. We can feel good about
it. It's a pretty saucy take. I like the take. I like the take because
nice
I
nice that you get the stamp of approval.
As much as I hate to admit it, it does feel like it's a chess checker situation with the Patriots and the rest of the AFC. As good as the Steelers can be when everything's clicking, the Pats are just a well-rounded team until, you know, Tom, the gradual decline starts, which could be any week now. Just watch out for
that.
Stand by my preseason statement that they won't lose a game with Tom Brady in the lineup this year.
Through the playoffs as well. All the way through.
They will not lose a game.
Where do you come down on this one, Connie?
Well, I mean, yeah, without Big Ben, that offense is going to have trouble. The onus is on Le'Veon Bell to really run the ball or just be more involved. He didn't run the ball as many times as I thought he would last week when Big Ben went down. I think he only...
Well, I think with Big Ben under center, they like to use him more as a receiver. Now they're going to have to use him as a runner.
They have to. I think they only ran him like 10 times last week. I'd have to look it up. But
it's a totally different offense with Landry Jones in there.
Yeah, and we saw what it is last year. And we're very experienced watching this team with Landry Jones.
Larry Jones.
I think they should get Larry Jones in this game.
Somebody get Larry on the
phone. There was a power forward in the NBA in the 70s and 80s named Larry Jones. I think his nickname was Mr. Mean.
Ooh. Fun fact.
One last note.
No, that was Larry Smith.
All right.
Disregard everything I said.
It's okay, Wes. One last thing before we move on, Wes. It's a LeGarry Blount revenge game.
Ooh.
It is. It is. So he's going to get revenge for the Steelers letting him go, and then he went and picked up a ring in New England?
Something like that. All right, let's move on. Sunday night football. You know, we've had some bad games in primetime this year, but you can sleep well heading towards Sunday, knowing that we have a nice NFC West battle here. Well, we'll get to it. Hang on.
All right.
Let me set it up first before you chop it down.
Ooh.
The Seattle Seahawks, 4-1, coming off, yes, that controversial win over the Falcons in their building. Now they travel to Glendale, the University of Phoenix Stadium, to face the Arizona Cardinals. And, Wes, we talked about this earlier today. Even though the Cardinals beat up on the Jets, there's still not a lot to get truly pumped up about their offense or really where they're at right now, right?
Not only that, but it might be a bad game to watch. If Drew Carson Palmer has a hamstring injury and hasn't practiced yet this week. So, yeah, that's going to be a bad game if Drew Stanton starts. But I think this is a team that has to be a David Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald offense. We talked about this coming out of the Monday night game. They can't protect Carson Palmer. They can't really do anything against blitzes this year because Palmer's not moving well in the pocket, and he's not going to be moving well with a hamstring injury. So this is going to have to be David Johnson, and we saw what happened in Week 17. Even though the Cardinals weren't really trying as hard as they would in a meaningless game last year, Seahawks absolutely shut David Johnson down.
Mm-hmm. This also comes from our research notes, which ties into what you're saying. Seahawks have no fear of going to Arizona either. They've won the last three straight games between these teams, combined score 105-34.
Wow.
Seattle always travels well, but especially in Arizona, they don't go there and get intimidated by the scene.
Seattle's the better team, I think, but Russell Wilson, he still doesn't really look 100% healthy.
He's not running as well. He's passing pretty well.
How about that pass rush, though, for Arizona being an equalizer with Golden and Jones coming off the edges? I like that.
Bookend pass rushers, something they lacked last year. Definitely. That's a factor.
And Russell Wilson, he'll be able to get the ball to Jimmy Graham. I think that Doug Baldwin will probably be taken out of it by Patrick Peterson, but I mean, it might be a good game. I'm hoping so.
I need it.
I'm trying to talk myself into it a little bit.
Even though last Sunday night was a
poor Mark
game,
last Sunday.
Oh yeah. Mark was catatonic when that game went to overtime. I wouldn't say that was a great game. We're overdue. I'm kind of appealing to the football gods here. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm even going next level. Wes, stand down. Dear Jesus, please. I'm so bored of watching these bad games on Sunday night. Al Chris and Michelle Tafoya.
Tell them, Dan.
Or give us a great game on Sunday night. That's all I ask. I love you, Jesus.
Dear Buddha.
Oh, Wes.
Please follow suit.
Buddha, is that where we're coming from now?
I mean,
save it for the
we have to
podcast.
Save it, but yeah, there's a lot of God.
Oh, we have to save it, but you can do it, Dan. Fine.
Your religion's all right, but mine's not.
Yeah.
Imagine no possessions. All right. Let's pick this game. Seattle at Arizona. Colleen.
I'm taking Seattle.
Wes?
Seattle. Kristen Michaels' national breakout game.
You think it's happening?
On the national radar.
Wee.
Outplays David Johnson in this
he
game.
He doesn't.
Whoa.
I could totally see that happening. I love that.
You kind of, I will.
Lock it up. You're locking it up.
What?
Locking
Stop!
It up.
Locking it up.
Lock it up.
It's a lock.
Wow.
Kristen Michael out produces David Johnson in this game.
Whoa.
I will say this, Wes, and Kristen Michael's had some nice moments this season. For the awakening, for Seawoke to truly be something that you predicted properly, we need a big-time game here.
Let the record stand. I predicted this properly.
I'm talking, we want him to run for 13, 1,400 yards.
In fact, I predicted both running backs in this game properly and Terrence West, so stick it.
Has he lived up to all the
Absolutely. Shot out of a cannon when you watch him run.
Okay.
He's averaging, what, almost 5 yards per carry, and the rest of their running backs are averaging under 2 yards per carry? So, that puts it in perspective.
I'm just saying. I wouldn't say statistically he's blowing the league away at this point.
His game film's blowing the league away.
Okay, Wes. All right.
The eye in the sky doesn't lie, Dan. Trust your eyes. Next August, when you see a running back running like Kristen Michael, trust your eyes.
All right. Well, I stand by. I need 150 yards out of him. If you're going to talk him up like this, I want to see a dynamic performance. All the eye in the sky stuff. Give me the numbers on the paper.
150.
What's this eye stuff? The world revolves around Dan Hansis' expectations?
That's right.
All right. Last game. A little Monday Night Football. And here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is the Brock Osweiler, well, or the John Elway revenge game. It's somebody's
It's revenge. Definitely a revenge game.
Yeah, but it's Brock Osweiler, who was groomed to take over for Peyton Manning, opted to take more money to go to Houston, and is now the Texans starting quarterback. But you know what? Both teams are 4-2, so you think, things worked out for everybody. I don't know. We still have to see, Colleen, if Brock Osweiler is the guy. And this will be a big referendum against the best defense in football or the AFC, against his old team with all the motivation in the world. Brock's got to do something here.
I don't think Brock is going to look like the guy in this game. This is going to be tough for him. The Broncos, they have Gary Kubiak back. He's well rested now. He's trying to get more sleep. And look, you have Gary Kubiak and Wade Phillips, who know him really well. They know his tendencies. This defense is going to be able to exploit him. Plus, Trevor Siemian, he has another week to get better. He didn't look 100% healthy last week. And, like, I just feel like the Texans aren't the team that they were stocked and loaded to be in the offseason. They don't look like it right now. Their defense isn't as dominant as they were. J.J. Watt, that injury really hurt them. And I just don't think Lamar Miller, I mean, he did well against the Colts last week, but the Broncos, that's a totally different story.
Yes, it will not be that easy against Denver, that's for sure.
The revenge is all on Denver's side in this game. How is Brock Osweiler going to need revenge after he was gifted $37 million just because he played for the Broncos? The defense can't be happy that he left them high and dry and basically thought he was too good for them.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Is it a thank you game?
I don't think.
Thanks, Daddy.
I don't think we have thank you games, do we?
I don't know. In the National Football League? Never.
Mm-mm.
Not you better watch it.
How about this? Worst case scenario, by the way. Brock is bottoming out, playing the way he did for 3.5 quarters last Sunday night. And we look over to the pan, over to the sideline. And there he is, putting on the helmet and getting loose. Tom Savage, baby.
Tom Savage is real.
Again.
Tom Savage is real.
One more.
Tom Savage is real.
It's one of my favorite drops.
Wes, will Tom Savage start a game this year? Not injury related.
No question in my mind.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Is that a lock?
I don't know. I don't know.
There's got to be like a step below a lock.
Brock Osweiler does nothing for me. I don't think he's the answer. He's got some Mettenberger DNA in him.
Ooh. Yeah, I can see that.
That's not good.
Will Fuller's dealing with the hamstring issue, so I feel like he's not as fast either as he was.
So, yeah, the fact that this is being played in Denver, too, is not a great situation for Brock. Maybe it was in Houston. You could talk yourself into it a little bit. But you get the feeling not only is a guy that's been a scattershot player, but also on the road, crowd going nuts, noise effect. A lot of this is not shaping up well for the Texans here.
Yeah, the Texans run D wasn't able to stop Frank Gore. So C.J. Anderson, he should be able to run too.
Well, he hasn't been doing much either since.
No, but maybe this is the game that he does.
Yeah.
They're talking about more Devontae Booker this week again.
Ooh.
Interesting. All right. I think we all have Denver in the Monday night game.
Yes.
Okay. So there you go. That is our preview of all the Sunday games and the Monday night affair. The next time you hear from us, we will be breaking down all the games that we just previewed. That's how the wheel operates, Colleen.
Mm, thank you.
What
I
goes
wasn't
up?
Sure.
Must come down. I don't know. Does that work? Not really. Thank
Not
you.
On a wheel.
You are a hero, both literally
really?
And figuratively.
Wasn't sure.
You are.
Sure about that. Some mixed signals.
You're getting mixed signals?
Hero signals.
Wow.
I'm
Why?
Just kidding.
What
I'm
happened?
Kidding. I'm kidding. Relax.
When I turn the corner and I'm ripping Chris Martin
and your
and company,
no shoes and your solo
got no
cup.
Shoes. I got iced tea in my cup.
Really?
It was.
Is that what's in there? Well, everybody was asking you, what's in the solo cup, Dan?
Thought it was lean.
I do like the idea of like 8:30 in the morning, me pouring some whiskey into a solo cup and driving to work.
Blasting there, Coldplay. It all makes sense.
When you were 22.
That sounds like a guy that is panicking about child number two arriving.
Oh, no.
All right. That's it. Until Sunday night, this is Dan Hansa signing off for Connie Fox, the mailman, Greg Rosenthal from London, and, of course, the wonderful La Seed behind the glass. And thanks to everybody behind the glass. Till Sunday! It's my party and I cry if I want to. Something.
That's exactly how it goes.
You would be too if it happened to you.
Bum, 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 bum.
Remix.